Today, we're talking about the Utah Jazz, their 2019-20 season, what that might mean for the offseason, what that might mean for the future. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off your next order. As I said, we're looking at the Utah Jazz today. Tomorrow's show is going to be on the Indiana Pacers. So if you have any questions about the Pacers, be sure to either be a part of the Discord server where you can ask questions there, over on Instagram, or over on Twitter as well. You'll see those prompts go up very, very soon. We're talking about the Utah Jazz, so let's get into the questions that did come through over on the old Discord for everyone who's a member over there. Dazza says, what trade do you think Utah can or must make to break their hump in the playoffs? And why is the answer Rudy Gobert? Again, with these things, people are so keen on breaking up Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. It seems to be everyone's raison d'etre at this point. Like, they've got to break up. They don't like each other. And they have had issues, there's no doubt. I wouldn't say they're best mates. Plenty of people can work together without being best mates. And Gobert is really valuable. Now, in the future, he's going to be an issue because of the big contract that he's going to be owed. He's going to feel like he deserved, and he probably does deserve. And in the end, that's probably not going to be ideal when he's 31 or 32 years of age. But for now, I don't think you're getting back your good value in a Gobert deal. Mitchell's 24, Gobert is 28. They are in a precarious position because their next best three players are all 30-plus. Bogdanovich is over 31, and Ingles and Conley are both 33. So do they all fit that Mitchell timeline? That they don't, actually. And you're probably right that maybe they do need to mix things up. Now, that's going to be hard to sell to Donovan Mitchell. Hey, we need to take a step back because everyone else is 8-7 years older than you are. And you're not, when you're in your prime in 4 years' time, they're not going to be ready to go. So how do they balance that? I don't think trading Gobert is the right decision. I think it's trying to get some other young guys in, whether that is moving off of Ingles or Bogdanovich or any of these guys to try and build up some young asset base this way. They're in an interesting position, and it feels like almost a tough position, but I don't think I'd be moving on from big Rubert Gobert. Rubert, yes. All right, other questions coming in over here. Tall Rob 21 says, where are we drafting Don Mitchell this year? Can he make another big jump this season? Well, he hasn't made a big jump yet. That's part of the issue. Mitchell was the 45th ranked player this past season. We know what he did in the playoffs, where he literally was the number one player in the playoffs for fantasy on a per game basis. Now, he only played 7 games, but he averaged 36 points per game on a 38% usage. So those things aren't going to stick. He's not going to continue to shoot 53 from the field and 95 from the line, including 52% from three. He's not going to play 38 minutes a night. So while that's great and it's awesome that he was the number one player in the playoffs, it is not realistic to continue. He has not taken any sort of leap in any regular season, really. He was, in his rookie year, the 44th ranked player. In his second year, the 43rd ranked player. And this year, he was the 45th ranked player. So he's been absolutely bang on in terms of fantasy value, the same every year. Can he get better? Absolutely. I think he can probably, I thought initially he could probably push the top 10. I'm not sure whether he will, but what the difference is here, in the playoffs, 8.3 free throw attempts per game. In the regular season, 4.7. That's really the biggest difference there. Now, of course, he scored, you know, another 12 points per game, and the usage went absolutely through the roof, and the shooting was fantastic. So he can look to improve some of those shooting numbers, but he's a great free throw shooter. That's not going to change. If he can get 8 to 10 attempts per game, Trae Young, Luka Doncic-style free throw volume, then he does become a second-round guy. Then he gets 28, and remember, percentages are a multiplier category. You get your field goal percentage or free throw percentage impact up, and then that improves your points per game. You get instead of five attempts per game, you take 10 attempts per game and you're hitting over 80%. That's another 4.5 points per game. So instead of 24 points per game, you're now scoring 28.5 points per game. And those two things there are enough to jump you 20, 25 spots in ranking. So that's how he improves to get up to that area, is keeping that free throw rate high. Kano says, can we expect to see increased minutes for Tony Bradley next season and beyond? No. Tony Bradley was better this year, but actually, let's rephrase this. He played 11 minutes a night. So I think we can expect 13 to 14 minutes a night. But in order for him to play more than that, he needs to take minutes away from Rudy Gobert, and it isn't happening. So unless Gobert gets hurt or he completely falls off a cliff, Bradley is getting just the scraps left behind from Tony Bradley. Can he be a Ivica Zubac level starting center at some point in the next couple of years? Maybe. I thought he was relatively impressive this year, but I'm not sure about it at this stage. Dark Horse Fantasy Sports says, Bojan Bogdanović, Joe Ingles, and Royce O'Neal all got close to 30 minutes per game last year and were fantasy relevant. Do you anticipate similar production and minutes for them, or does Ingles jump Bojan this year? No, I doubt that Ingles jumps Bojan this year at all. And I would argue that O'Neal was relevant. He wasn't to me. He was 177th ranked player who really didn't provide much value apart from your middling steal numbers. He scored 6 points a game and hit 1.3 triples. I wouldn't say he was relevant. And to be honest, Ingles was in and out of standard league value. When everyone was healthy, he was out. When someone was injured, like Conley, and he'd move into the starting lineup, then he would have value. So I would think that the Gobert-Mitchell-Bogdanović combination will be fine for standard leagues. Conley will jump up, I'm pretty sure. Ingles, I don't think, is going to be a draftable player, nor will Royce O'Neal, in my opinion. Severe, that's Jesse. What is the highest value Mike Conley could realistically achieve this year? Well, in the bubble, in the seeding games, he was the 37th ranked player. In the playoffs, he was the 16th ranked player. In the playoffs, he averaged 20 points per game in 33 minutes with 5 assists and 1.6 steals. No reason he can't do that. Now, I don't think he's going to be the 16th ranked player, because remember, in the playoffs, there's 14 teams who aren't competing. So can he be back to top 50? I'd say that's probably best case scenario. Top 70, that's absolutely the region I think we should be looking at Conley to be. And then, yeah, there is risk there because he was off so much to begin the year. The shooting just wasn't there. He wasn't healthy. He wasn't fitting in, but he got that figured out. And when he gets it figured out, top 50 is probably a realistic expectation for him at that point. Matt Lawson, are you buying or selling these Jazz Dynasty ADPs? Don Mitchell at 16. It's aggressive. Again, he's never been a top 40 player. We saw what he did in the playoffs. Not sure I'd buy it at 16. It's expecting a lot to go right, and maybe it doesn't happen. Gobert at 37, I'm not touching that. He wasn't even that ranked this year, and he was 41st, and he's going to decline. So no, I'm not touching that there. Conley at 120, I'd buy the shit out of that. Bogdanović at 134, well, he was unbelievable this year, but there was a lot that happened with Bogdanović to be the 76th ranked player. He scored 20 points per game. He got to the line a lot more, and that's where his value is coming from. I don't trust him to be a top 100 player, but at 130, I would buy it. Jordy Clarkson at 178, I think that's right about where it needs to be. Ingles at 208, obviously that's factoring in a big decline, and I understand that. I think it's okay at 208, though. O'Neal at 254, I would buy that. I think he can be, well, we saw it this year. He was already better than that, and he's got a couple of years at solid value. Well, Tone Bradley at 267 or 269, sorry, I'd probably buy that one. All right, let's look on some questions on Instagram. The Egg Channel, do I think Gobert is going to slow down next season? I said Gobert is 28. I don't think there's going to be a massive change from him this coming season. He's probably got another 2 years left at this level, would be my guess, before he starts to fall off. Peder by Jensen, could Don Mitchell get in the top 10? Again, I think it's a little bit of a stretch at this point to have Mitchell in the top 10. Do I ever see Royce? This is from Kitty Ulf. Do I ever see Royce O'Neal being a top 100 player in fantasy? No, not really. I don't see him being that good of a player. To be fair to Royce, though, in the bubble, in the seeding games, he was the 50th ranked player, mainly because he got 1.7 steals, and that's what it's going to come down to. He also averaged 7 rebounds per game, but remember, there was no Bojan Bogdanović in the bubble, and that had an impact, and that helped Donovan Mitchell as well. That's something else we have to remember when looking at Donovan Mitchell's value. Next, Trebor, will Donovan Mitchell's ADP be higher than Jamal Murray's? That is going to be the question. They are two guys at risk of being overdrafted because of their big bubble performances. I think Mitchell's ADP will be a little bit higher than Murray's personally, and I think they both might push somewhat too high, would be my guess if we're viewing it at this stage. Guys, it can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. You can blame yourself, you can blame stress, you can blame the weather, you can blame whatever you want, but realistically, it's a medical condition, and hey, you can get treatment for it. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's getroman.com/lockedon for up to 50% off your first month of ED treatment. Getroman.com/lockedon. All right, let's get to some questions here on Twitter for you guys about the Jazz. Dinamo Bezmamicha, is there anything to see with guys like Juwan Morgan and the other second round picks from the draft last year? So we're talking about Juwan Morgan, Justin Wright Foreman, Jarrell Brantley. You'll throw Mia One in that mix as well. Who do I like the most out of that group? It's a tough one. I think they all can be solid-ish players. It probably is Morgan. We saw him play a decent role in the playoffs. He didn't do huge amounts, but starting games in the playoffs is interesting. In terms of just looking at their overall best value and peak, it's hard to get too excited about these players. It probably still is Morgan or maybe Wright Foreman who, as a small scoring guard type of player, but Morgan's the guy that I look at. Can he develop into a starter like a Royce O'Neal? Maybe. But can he do much more than that? I'm not really convinced that there's massive upside in these guys. Aaron Bonifazio, does Boyan get less hyped because he missed the bubble? I think there's a possibility of that. And he says, what round is he going? Well, again, he was the seventh round player this year. There's a little worry to me that Boyan won't be a 20-point per game scorer and hit three threes again. That's going to rely on him being a 41% three-point shooter. Not crazy. He can do that. And shooting 90% from the line and getting a 25 usage. If one of those things goes wrong for him, because he doesn't do anything in steals or blocks or rebounds or assists, he doesn't do anything in those areas. If those things fall off, his free throw rate falls off at all, and he's an 18-point per game guy with 2.5 threes, still really good numbers, then he's like the 90th, 100th, 110th best player. So I think he's probably a guy I look at in the 8th to 9th round. I don't really see massive improvement from where Bogdanović was in this past season. All right, let's talk about these guys now. Let's get into them in a little bit more detail. Thank you for everyone for your questions about these Utah Jazz players. Let's start with the big fella,
Rudy Gobert.
As I referenced earlier, Gobert was the 41st ranked player. His PIPM and Raptor were massive. 4.79 PIPM, 5.6 Raptor. It's some of the best numbers in the league. He had a 70% true shooting, and his usage was only 16%. So why was he so high? Well, he shot 69% from the field.
Giggity!
He blocked two shots a game, and he got almost 14 rebounds. And those two blocks are actually lower numbers. He has been a guy that's got higher numbers in the past, but as guys get older, we've seen it with Hassan Whiteside, you see it with guys like Serge Ibaka, the block numbers do start to come down. Gobert's never going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer, but he's a good rebounder, and he's a high field goal percentage guy. You have to look at him as a punt free throw player. 63% on six attempts is always, he's improving. If he improves, cool. It's a bonus. Just don't expect it. So that probably puts him in third round type territory, even though he was the 41st ranked player. If you're automatically considering him a punt free throw guy, that's just going to elevate him 5 to 10 spots there. So he's probably a third round sort of a guy. 15 and 14 in 34 minutes with two blocks. It just seems realistic. It just seems what he's going to do for the next season or two. I don't really see too much changing there with Gobert, who still is obviously remarkably important to this team and super efficient. and you really he is their best player, but that may change in this upcoming season because Don Mitchell really did put together a fantastic performance in the bubble, particularly in the playoffs. Let's talk about the Don right now.
He's Don. He's good.
Talked about it earlier. He's the 45th ranked player, and look at his impact numbers. They're nowhere near Gobert's. 0.17 for PIPM, 1.4 for Raptor, 56 true shooting, 31% usage. Where does Donovan Mitchell go from here? Like, can he bring that increased free throw attempt rate? I think there is a chance of it. Now, in the seeding games, he was at 5.3 free throws. In the playoffs, he was at 8.3. Which one of those is real? I think the 38 minutes and the 38 usage, remember, no Bogdanovich as well, helped Mitchell, is going to skew those numbers, is going to balloon those numbers up, and he's not going to be able to keep up that rate. I think that there's zero chance of expecting him to be the number one player or even a top 10 player. It's all going to come down to improving overall efficiency, but most importantly, improving free throw attempt rate. And the thing with Mitchell is he went from 3.8 as a rookie to 5.1 in his second year and then 5 next this last season. So that's sort of where he's been sitting. He needs to take that a further step forward to 6, to 7, to 8 to really jump up. Again, a real risk of being overdrafted. Can he get to top 15 at some point? It's going to come down to that. And I think he can do it, but it probably won't be coming up for this upcoming season. Next up, Bogdanovic, the 76th ranked player. Look at Gobert's numbers compared to these other guys in terms of PIPM and Raptor. Bogdanovic was actually a negative in Raptor and just a 0.84 PIPM. True shooting of 60 was amazing. 26% usage for Bogdanovic was a lot higher than I expected. He averaged 20 points. He hit 3 threes a game. He was a 90% shooter from the line and 41% from deep. The concern there is that he doesn't continue to shoot quite as well. Although he was a 43% shooter the year before, and he's been a 40% shooter from three for three consecutive seasons, he saw his usage balloon from 22 to over 25. His threes went from 2 a game to 3 a game. Everything else stayed really similar. I guess you could argue there is room for improvement for Bogdanovic because his field goal percentage went from 50 down to 45, and his steal rate went from 0.9 to 0.5. But he also shot 10 percentage points better from the free throw line, which is a big change there. So there were some differences from what he did in Indiana. He also played the most minutes of his career by far. He was at under 32 in Indiana, and he was over 33 here. So it's like an extra 1.5 minutes per game that he played, plus the extra usage, plus the strong shooting. It really helped him. I'm a little bit worried that he is at age 31.5. That he's going to see a bit of a dip. Maybe he goes to 32, 31 minutes. Maybe he goes from 20 points to 18 minutes, and that does push him outside that top 100 range. Next up is Jingling Joe, the 114th ranked player, but it's really hard to look at Ingles at 114 and go, yeah, he's that guy, because he started in the starting lineup, went to the bench, Royce O'Neal replaced him, then Conley was out, and he moved back in, and he played well without Conley, but he had struggles when everyone was healthy trying to find his role. His usage, really low, just 15%. Now, he was a positive PIPM and Raptor guy, and his true shooting was 60. So he had some struggles early on with shooting, but ended up getting back to 40% three-pointers. But only 0.9 steals hurts him at under 10 points per game, obviously hurts. He still hit 2 threes, and his value is coming there from assists and threes. And he's still going to get those assists, whether he's running the second unit, which is probably what's going to happen. But 29 minutes probably goes to 28 minutes for this season, given his 33 years of age and the structure of this team. And he's more likely going to be an assists and threes guy. And that still has value. So I said earlier, maybe he's not a draftable player, but getting 4 or 5 assists is still really valuable. So maybe you chuck him in at the end of a draft. But given where he is in his career, significant improvement from Ingles at this point seems pretty unlikely to me. Next up is Mike Conley, who was a real disaster this season, let's be honest. A guy that we were looking at as maybe a top 35, top 40 player, ADP 44th. Barely cracked the top 150, 145th ranked player. His PIPM and Raptor aren't as bad as you would anticipate, given how poorly he played. Negative 0.49 there for PIPM. And his true shooting at 54. He just couldn't hit shots. His two-point percentage went from 48 to 44. But I think people would be surprised about this. He actually hit 39% of his threes. And in the bubble, he was a much better player. In the seeding games, the 37th ranked player. And in the playoffs, the 16th ranked player. So in the seeding games, he averaged 18 with 5 assists and only 0.8 steals. And that gets to 1.2, 1.3 steals. Then we're talking about a consistent top 35 player, top 40 player. Probably wouldn't draft him there. But he had real trouble fitting in and he just couldn't hit any shots. Only 4.5 assists. And we know that when you play for the Jazz, your assists are going to be down. We've seen that plenty of times. The worry there is the low steals and the low field goal percentage. And I think both of those numbers can come back up, as well as the 14 points. And Conley only played 29 minutes a night for the Jazz. So there's big, big room for him to improve. Now, he is 33, so he's not going to get back to peak Mike Conley. But top 70 is probably the expectation for him for one or two more seasons. He's really, really good still. And it was just a shit-house season where injuries and unfamiliarity and adjusting to a new scheme, as we've seen so many times from people with the Jazz. Now, it worked perfectly for Bogdanovich. It worked terribly for someone like Rick Rubio and for Mike Conley. But I think he's got the hang of it now and working with Mitchell and Gobert, and he will be fine as he moves forward. Guys, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world. It doesn't taste like cement. It doesn't taste like a big pile of mulch that you find out the front of your house. It tastes like a chocolate bar. It is covered in 100% chocolate, and they've added 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. To me, the cookies and cream is the best of that new bunch. Really, really enjoy that. These are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber bars. That cookies and cream bar, 17 grams of protein and only 130 calories, and a absolutely puny 4 grams of sugar. Go to builtbar.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. The promo code is LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, who is the next guy up on our list here after Mike Conley? We're taking a squiz at Jordan Clarkson. He is the 158th ranked player. Just on Conley, actually, he's got a $35 million player option. There is rumors that he will opt out of that and then re-sign a 2 or 3 year deal with the Jazz for maybe $60, $70 million. So we'll see where that goes. Clarkson's an unrestricted free agent. Came across for Dante Exum in a trade during the season and was the 158th ranked player. He filled that role pretty strongly on the Jazz. He's also a candidate for this.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Because he can be wildly inconsistent. He's really good at scoring at times. He can be inefficient at times as well. But he averaged 15 points in 24 minutes. Not a huge amount else. Under 2 assists, 2 threes a game, 84% from the line. Realistically, his value is from that scoring and hitting those threes. In the bubble, he didn't do too much. In the playoffs, he was great. 29 minutes, 17 points. On a better team, he thrives. On a poor team, he's just really, really tough to watch. But all he's doing is scoring and hitting threes. I could see Clarkson coming back and filling that similar 25-minute role in the Jazz, but he's going to be in pretty high demand across the league for that scoring guard, Lou Williams-type player who can handle the ball in a pinch, who can score, who can hit threes, who can get hot, but also has some pretty big deficiencies that need to be dealt with. And he's not a player that a bad team should be going out to sign. He does not work in that environment. He needs to be on a good team. Really impressive advanced numbers as well. Plus 0.9 Raptor, 57 true shooting, 26 usage. They're all really good. But to me, he's not someone that you really should be looking at as a fantasy guy. He's a streamer for points and threes. And yeah, the role that he's going to on a new team probably isn't going to be exceeding 28 minutes a night. If he gets to 28, then maybe there's an argument to look at him in the top 120. But I think ideally, he's that guy you look at as a 25-minute a night bench scorer. And that's how I'm viewing Jordy Clarkson. Royce O'Neal, 177th ranked player, really, really strong in his advanced metrics, plus 1.79 PIPM, 1.6 Raptor, 58 true shooting, but 6 points per game, 9.6% usage is terrible. What his value is in fantasy is just being marginally below average in rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Marginally below average in field goal percentage and free throws. Just thoroughly, just nothing. Doesn't score and everything else below average. So to me, his upside is not really big at all. In the bubble, he was better. Let's get that clear. But it's on the back of two things. Rebounding going up to 7 a game. No Bogdanovich helps. 1.7 steals per game. Well, he's got that ability to be a steals player. In the playoffs, he played 36 minutes a night and he couldn't even crack the top 70 in a limited field of players. Still got the 1.3 steals and 5 rebounds, but realistically, his value comes down to being a steals guy. And will he get 0.8 steals like he got through the whole season, or will he get the over one steal he got in the playoffs? That's the question with O'Neal. He is still only 27 years of age, but we should be looking at him as a steals specialist. And towards the end of rankings, in that 80 to 150 range, if you get high steals, it can boost your value by 50, 60 spots when everything else is a negative, and that's where we sit with O'Neal. So I don't have massive faith that he's going to start turning into a guy that's generating big numbers in other categories and being hyper-efficient and hitting tons of threes and scoring a lot and consistently pulling down 7-8 rebounds a night. That's a possibility, I guess. All it's going to come down to O'Neal, though, is his ability to get steals. Tone Bradley, the 310th ranked player, moved into that backup center role ahead of Ed Davis, which was
a surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
11 minutes a game, 5 points and 5 rebounds with 0.6 blocks. Now, 0.6 blocks doesn't seem like much, but in 11 minutes, it's pretty strong. 67 from the field, a very similar sort of profile to Gobert. High field goals, mid-60s free throws, good blocks, good rebounds, low usage player. Raptor really positive. That's interesting to me. And also, just a negative 0.85 PRPM, especially when you're coming off the bench behind Gobert. That's really encouraging for Tone Bradley. I'm not really sure where he goes, and getting minutes with Gobert is tough. But 2-3 years' time, I can see him being a 26-minute a night Jonas Valanciunas, Ivica Zubats type starting center. He's not the same player as Valanciunas. He's not that offensive of a player. But a guy that can block two shots, that can get 10, 11 boards a game with 10 or 11 points, and that there can be a top 100 fantasy player. But overall upside is pretty limited for Bradley, and it's just not going to happen on this team for a while. But he is a name to watch, and I thought he's established himself as at least a solid rotation player this year. After that is Emmanuel Mudiay, and it gets pretty rough from here on out. Mudiay wasn't good at all. He did benefit from David Fizdale and his terrible coaching the year before, and by that I mean that Fizdale gave him minutes when he didn't deserve them, and he put up some raw counting numbers. This year, he was shithouse. Negative 2.8 PRPM and negative 4.5 Raptor, a true shooting of 54. He can't hit threes. He doesn't get assists. He doesn't get steals. He's inefficient overall, 55% or 54% true shooting. They tried to play him in the playoffs, and he was terrible. In the bubble, he was terrible. I don't really know where Emmanuel Mudiay goes from here, to be honest. He's only 24. So he's going to be 25 at some point next season, but I just don't see him ever being a player that's going to crack the top 200, and nobody should be relying upon him for 28 minutes a night. Another reason why Fizdale was a terrible, terrible coach. George Niang. Niang, I think, had a bit of a disappointing year this year. 356th ranked player. PIPM was pretty rough on him. 59 true shooting is a strong number, but overall, what did he do? 6 points in 14 minutes. He's a guy that should theoretically show flashes of getting steals, rebounds, getting some assists, being an okay shooter, but that hasn't really come to fruition. In 14 minutes, he did hit 1.4 threes, which is obviously a lot. 70% of his shots were from three, and he hit 40% of them. But I wouldn't really classify him as a long-range bomber, and he's not offering anything else apart from that. I think they would love to upgrade his backup power forward position, and that's where someone like a Juwan Morgan or Jarrell Brantley can possibly jump in. Niang also not super young. He's already 27. So I reckon any faith in him ever being a top 200 player should be extinguished at this stage. Jarrell Brantley, 402nd ranked player. Now we're into a bunch of these guys that barely played. 9 games only for Brantley, 11 minutes a night. Let's look at what he did in the G League though, because that can be a bit more instructive. 19-8 with almost 4 assists, shooting 5 3-point attempts per game and hitting 33%. I think there's the basis of something there for Jarrell Brantley. He is 24, so he's older as a rookie. Second round draft pick. Massive G League PIPM of 3.17. And I think he's got some future, maybe not to be, I'm going to say Paul Millsap, because he has his Jazz ties and being a second rounder and unheralded and working his way up. But it wouldn't surprise me if Brantley had one top 150 season. I think he's got some of that as a high rebounder, decent enough scorer, some stretch ability, some defensive ability. It's not great, the defensive ability, but I do think that he can be at least solid on that end. I'd like him to generate some more defensive stats, but I think there is something there from Jarrell Brantley. He is a name to watch for sure. Next up is Ed Davis, who just had a terrible season, really. He's a guy that I think is really gettable for nothing in trades. He just didn't fit with this Jazz team. 415th ranked player. His advanced stats were miserable. His true shooting was under 59, which for a big man is terrible. This is a guy that's had some really strong years in the past. He averaged just 2 points and four rebounds, and I don't really see his role changing too much. He is 31 years of age, amazingly. And where he goes, he'll just be in like a 14-minute-a-night role as a backup or a guy who is a third stringer. But really, really struggled, had an injury as well to his knee, and I don't really see any future for Ed Davis to be anything more than an emergency-type center. In terms of other second-rounders to talk about, Mia One, the 416th ranked player. His advanced numbers are a little bit better, negative 1.1 Raptor, 51 true shooting is not fantastic. One only played the 10 games at 11 minutes a night. His G League numbers is probably more indicative. 30 minutes a night there, just 13 points, but 4 assists, 35% from 3 on 5.5 attempts, 6 rebounds, 1.3 steals. So he's a 6'5 shooting guard, shows some distribution ability, some 3-point shooting ability. Is there a chance that, say, they do lose Jordan Clarkson, that they look to One to fill in that role? I think there is something to see with One. I think he can be an okay player who's got some upside in a couple of years' time to maybe be a top 200 player. He's got a $1.5 million non-guarantee on his contract. I think they almost picked that up for sure. And I think they do like One. I think he can be a player who has some interesting moments. He's a couple of years away from that, but, you know, I think he's absolutely an NBA rotation player. Next up is Justin Wright Foreman, the 431st ranked player. Wright Foreman, again, none of these players that played almost exclusively in the G League. He played just 45 minutes in the NBA this year. But in the G League, he averaged 17 points in only 28 minutes, shot 40% from three on 5.5 attempts per game. Didn't do too much else. Low assists, rebounds, steal numbers, but really strong at generating offense for himself. Strong true shooting of 60% in the G League, 27 usage, his PIPM in the G League, negative 0.34. I think he's got some upside to be, again, a Jordan Clarkson-y type guy, but he is a shorter player. He's only 6 foot, and that's probably going to hold him back from ever being a player that gets 20 minutes a night, maybe in the mold of, say, the Houston Rockets and Nigel Williams-Goss. Second round pick a couple of years ago, he was the 477th ranked player. Again, really very little to look at in terms of what Williams-Goss did in the NBA. 50 minutes from him. In the G League, we saw him play 30 minutes a night and average 15 points, 5.5 assists with 1.6 steals. Doesn't shoot the three ball all that much, 3 attempts per game. I think he's okay, but in terms of looking at One or Brantley or Wright Foreman, I'm a little bit more interested in their long-term upside than I am with Williams-Goss, who is 26. He went to Europe and played a few years over there. His G League PIPM was pretty good, 1.97. I think he can develop into a third-string point guard in the NBA, but he's not super exciting. Next guy is Juwan Morgan, who did start games in the player, 484th ranked player. He's wrapped a strong at zero, negative 0.83 PIPM, 65 true shooting, but we didn't see much of him. In the regular season, he played 21 games at 6 minutes a night and averaged 1.7 points. In the bubble games, 12 minutes a game. In the playoffs, he started games but played just 12 minutes a game with 1 point per game. Not a lot to really judge Juwan Morgan there on. But in the G League, 14 and 8. And where the real interest comes is 1.8 steals, 1.7 blocks, 72% shooting on his twos. Like, that is hyper efficient. He attempted almost 3 threes a game and hit him at 32%. But it's that rebounding, it's those defensive numbers that really, when I sit here looking at these second round pick type players, when that bloke asked it before, is Dinamo Desmamicha, I think his name was. That's why Morgan's got that upside. Those defensive numbers that he's able to generate, maybe a little bit of shooting, hyper-efficiency to move into a power forward type role. So that's why I'm a little bit interested in where Juwan Morgan can take things. And the last guy is a player who started the season playing for Milwaukee's G League team, Rajon Tucker. The Jazz waived Jeff Green to sign him. He was the 486th ranked player in fantasy, so we didn't really see much out of him. But In those limited games, he did average 3 points per game in 8 minutes. In the G League, though, his numbers were huge. 23 points per game, 5 rebounds. He hit 36% of his threes and almost 6 attempts. That's really interesting. Now, the lack of assists and steals is a problem, but he is a gunner. He is a 26 usage type player. And will he be battling like a Mia One for that Jordan Clarkson role when Clarkson either moves on or gets older? They're very different players. Tucker's a 6'3 shooting guard. One's a 6'5 shooting guard. One's more of a passer defender. Tucker's more of an offense generator. And maybe he can be that Donovan Mitchell facsimile who comes in and can work that second unit in terms of numbers there. So there is some interest in what Tucker can do. I still think out of that group, yeah, Morgan's probably the best with maybe a little bit of One in there as the second option from those second round players who are there for the Utah Jazz. That'll do it for me, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Leave a comment down below. Leave it a review. Tell me what you think. Be ready to ask questions for the Pacers show tomorrow, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.